good to be here. Larry called the other day and said, we got to go. And I want to pray for them. Joan was going for tests. I think they went to Terrace. Yeah. Yeah, we need to pray for them. Father, we thank you for Larry and Joan, and we thank you for their work here. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless them together there now. Lord, I don't know what those tests were, and I don't know what if they're still there to do more tests, but Lord, you know. So Lord, we pray that they just sense your presence with them. Pray that they'd even, Larry, would be able to have rest, Joan too, Lord, and we just pray that you'd bring relief for Joan with the pain and different things that are bothering her after her surgery. And Lord, yeah, you are a good God, and we can trust you. So Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, as I speak here, Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be my words, it would be yours. And my feeble lips, my self would be dethroned so that you could be on the throne. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to mention something here. It's kind of a touchy subject. It's in the news. It's been in the paper quite a bit. Talk to some of you about it. People call me. Say, Ken, what's going on? What should we do? What? It's to do south of Houston, the blockade and the pipeline. What do we do? As Christians, what do we do? It's a big deal. Our response as Christians, we're a Christian in the town, we're a Christian working out there, if we're a Christian on the line. I know people on both sides. Hate to say there's sides, because really there isn't in humanity. We're all created in the image of God. But I'm thinking a lot about it. It brings me pain to think that that's how we are as human beings. It really does. But what do we do as Christians? What's the most important thing? Jared just read it. And I'm going to read a little bit again from 1 Corinthians 13 here, out of the NLT. If I could speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. All the languages of the world, if I could speak it. Many languages. All of them. You go to the UN, they got all these little podiums. Plug in English, plug in Chinese, plug in. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but do not have love, I would be nothing. We want power. We want power. I'd like to say, Joan, be well. Randy, be well. All disease go. Mountains move. I'd like that. We like that. But even if we had all that power, I saw a mountain move once. I did. It took a long time. People did it. They moved it into a lake and made a dam. They flooded us out with that dam. So saw it move. Slowly, every day I went by, and slowly that mountain was moving into the Arrow Lake or the Columbia River, right where they meet. Flooded us out. We had to move. I didn't like it. I was bitter. I was angry. It wasn't right. But even if I could have stopped that whole thing, or I could have solved the whole thing, if I knew God's secrets and everything, still would be nothing. I'd be nothing without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Wow. There's my works. I could give it all. Still nothing. That is an amazing thing. Love is number one. Love is number one for us Christians. I remember in the 60s, it was a love generation, and the hippies were heading around in their flower bands, and Beatles sang, "All you need is love. Love is all you need." Remember that? Oh, yeah. That was quite the days. It wasn't really love. I'm going to read, flip over to 1 John, if you'd like. You can check me out here. 1 John chapter 2 talks about that kind of love, but it's a selfish love. Chapter 2. Verses 5-17. I think it's 17. I didn't think it was that long I was going to read, but no, it's 15-17. "Do not love this world or the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But everyone who does what pleases God will live forever." That kind of love, it really proved out that in the 60s, what they said was love. And I would kind of bought into it. I wasn't following the Lord at the time, and I kind of bought into it. But it wasn't really love. It was just, wasn't from the Father. It was actually desires from the sinful nature. They called it love. But it wasn't. So it's important for us to know what love is. And there's different kinds of love mentioned in Greek that was written in, the Bible was written in. And the first one I'm going to mention is eros. Eros. These days, we in Christian circles think of that as a bad love. But you know what? God made that love for a man and a woman in a married relationship. He did. Our word erotic comes from that. But when we, if we ever put erotic into the computer, we'd come up with a lot of gross stuff. So we've got this twisted idea about love. But eros is a type of love. And I believe God created that for a man and a woman in a married relationship. Our fallen nature has caused us to warp that thing into something gross. And Michaela was up here talking pro-life. You know why we got problems with that? Is because eroticism has got out of place. And people just want sex. But they don't want the consequences, so they kill the baby. That's happen. So that kind of love God, I believe, made for us in the right relationship. And then there's another love, phileo. And that's a love, a friendship love. It's a love, family love. And it can go quite deep. It can. Sometimes you hear about a mother will protect her kids from a cougar at her own life. It can go pretty deep. People have that kind of love. It's warped too, though, by our sinful nature. We don't really love our families the way we should. I'm not the dad I should be. We don't love our neighbors like we should. But you know, there's another love, agape or agape. That one can only come from God. Only can come from God. The other ones are from God. They're warped. People use them in their own way. But this one, I just like to read from John. Not 1 John, but John 15:13, where he talks about the vine and the branches. Jesus does. Then he says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That is the kind of love that God wants us to have. And that's agape. That's the greatest love there is. The deepest love. The kind of love that he wants us as Christians to respond in. So where do we get the love? In the 60s, they were looking everywhere. Woodstock. Wherever. With a relationship with somebody. We're looking. We need love. We all have that empty spot inside. Let's flip over to 1 John 4 here. 1 John 4:7. We're going to skip over. In a way here, this is an introduction to love. It's kind of like a nugget. But you know, we were just singing that song, Deep, Deep Love. I had a friend. He worked as a supervisor in a mine, and it was a gold mine. And he said, as you dig deeper, you get more ore. You know, in Timmins, Ontario, there was a couple prospectors walking, and this one guy just noticed this other guy kicked over some moss, and there was some gold. Where he thought, what is that? He looked, there was gold. You know now, there's over 1,500 roads in there, underground, and I forget how big, tons of gold they pulled out of there. It's amazing. That's what's available to us. That is amazing. Takes a little mining. We'll get into that in a bit. But in 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love, agape, comes from God. We can't work it up. I can't work up this love. Sometimes I get this idea, well, I'll try harder with my neighbor. One time I was talking with a Christian guy who had a Christian neighbor, and they were building the fence between, and he said, man, sure got a lot of conflicts here just over a fence. It was interesting. Two Christians over the fence. A building had to move 2 feet. Fence, who's going to pay for this? It got to be a big deal. And they were Christians. Probably trying to work up this love. I don't know. It ended up getting built. It's still there. It's a pretty solid fence. But it was between them. But we can't work it up, no matter how hard we try. And we're going to run into stuff all the way along our life. Every day we do, if we're really honest. In Galatians 5:22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I believe that love, if you read, we don't have time to talk about it all, but if you read in what we just read, definition of love, 1 Corinthians 13, and then you read the fruits of the Spirit, I believe all of those other fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that comes out of love. I think so. He's just defining it more precisely. But it's from the Spirit of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say it's a fruit of man. Doesn't say it's a fruit of being nice. It doesn't say it's a fruit of high education. It's not a fruit of even good preaching. It isn't. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. And so, let's read 1 John 4:16. We're skipping over here a lot because we're just looking at a few nuggets. Hopefully, you're going to say, hey, I want to know more about this. And start reading 1 Corinthians 13 over and meditating on it, saying, Lord, show me how this applies to me. Or even here, 1 John. Read the whole book of 1 John. John was an old man. When he wrote this, he was an old man. This is what he concluded. He walked with Jesus. He saw him personally. Walked, and he saw love in human form. The one who showed total love the way it should be, Jesus. The one who said, I'm going away, but I'm sending an advocate, the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things. And that fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life is love. Joy, peace, and rest, but love. Greatest. Without love, there's nothing. Nothing. So it's something really important to have. It really is. And when we receive Christ, His Spirit comes in here. So why don't we love more if we're believers? It says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And He does. He doesn't save us by how much we love. We love because we're saved. We're not saved by works. We're not even saved by fruit. The fruit comes after. First John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. Wow! It's by trusting Him, we trust His love. It's only because He first loved us that we love Him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Now let's just sit there for a little while. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Wow. Living in God. In our men's group, we have this sword drill. Ask the scripture. Second one, wait. You got the scripture here. Those who wait on the Lord, in a different version, will renew their strength. How much time do we spend with Jesus? You know, I said it somewhere else just recently because our anniversary's coming up, but Eunice, how did I get to know her? Spending time with her. 43 years. She knows me better than anybody else, and I know her, I think, better than anybody else except God. But because we spend time together, we get to know each other. Spending time with Jesus in his word, so important. And yet, we're here, we're there. I know, I'm talking to me. We're here, we're there, we're everywhere. This is urgent. What was his name? Called it the tyranny of the urgent. Gothard. Bill Gothard. That seminar. The tyranny of the urgent. We got to get her done. Even church stuff can get in the way. It can. Church stuff should come out of. Church stuff's good. Because we need the fellowship. We need to have each other. But if it doesn't come out of the fullness of God, if it doesn't come from the love of God, then it's nothing. I could make the best sermon here. I could, I don't know if you guys got a mortgage on this place. We could pay that off and we could have a big party. That's all good. But if it isn't out of love, it's nothing. It's amazing. He wants us to spend time with him. He really does. Let his words sink in. This is our guide here. This is his word. This is his love letter. Eunice used to write letters. I almost always go zinging over to where she was, even from Creston, on the weekend. Just giving her, thinking about her. It was exciting. Mazda, I bought a 1974 Mazda. I drove the wheels off that thing over the whole Princeton and just to see Eunice. But you know, how much more the love of Christ? It's number one. I can't love Eunice the way I should without Christ's love in me. And I can't really have the fullness of Christ's love without letting him have his way here. We love him because he first loved us. And then as we start seeing his love, we start realizing how much we need him and how short we are. He's going to start filling us with his love. Let's look at 4:17. B. Let's see, I read half of 4:17. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Can we live like Jesus? I think we can. We won't be perfect. We've still got that human nature. But Paul says we're to be conformed to the image of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Somebody said to me just yesterday, we had a meeting, and this guy says, how do we solve these things? Do we go from the top? Do we get up there and then change stuff that way? Or how do we do that? So we had a conversation about it among us guys. And I believe it's from the inside, Jesus living in us as believers. And as Jesus is formed in us and his love is formed in us, we're going to make the difference out there. In here, out there. We're going to make the difference. And it says on the judgment, we have no fear. If you read through 1 John, he says, if we don't love our neighbor, we don't love, the love of God isn't in us. And maybe we got to check if we're saved, maybe. Should change us something. But we don't have to fear in the judgment because we're conformed to his image. We're going to be waiting for him. That's a beautiful thing. So there's no judgment there. But representatives of Jesus. The only way we can really make the difference is love. Now, does that mean that we just say that sin's okay? We got that idea kind of from the world in the 60s. We did. Sin's okay. So we just, no big deal. I just love you. It says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're supposed to correct people with gentleness and respect. With love. Sin's not okay. Not with God. It's never okay because it hurts us and it hurts our relationship, our fellowship with Him. So what He wants of us, practical application, how do we get it? Well, if we're saved, we got it. How do we practice it then? There's an old hymn. I'm going to try and sing it. Garrett, you know it too. Sing it out, Garrett. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Colossians 1:18, it says that Jesus might have preeminence, supremacy. He wants supremacy in my heart. He wants supremacy in each one of us. And when He has supremacy, the love's gonna show up. Through all the mess, we've got a messy world. And I'm messy when I look at my life. It's messy. But Jesus came to save us and to fix the mess up. He really did. We can't fix it. He can. Have your way, Lord, in my heart. Every day we need to. I don't know if it's in the morning or the evening, but I think it's all the way through. Have your way. On the judgment, back to the judgment. On the judgment, I'll tell you something. Pipelines and land claims will not even be existing. It won't be existing. It will be Christ. It will be Christ in His love. We're going to see His love clear, clearer than the apostles saw. They saw Him in the flesh here. I know a guy. I don't know what you think of this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I know a guy who, he had a stroke, and he says his body left his, he was going up. He's a believer. He was going up. Right? This isn't something we got to follow as the Bible, but it's something what happened to a guy. And he said, as he was going up, it was getting brighter. And he said, there was love. There was so much love. And all the worries of the world and all the stuff didn't matter. Because he was going toward this bright light. And then the light said to him, what happened to you? I didn't do that to you. But the one who did it can't take your life, your mind. And you're going back there because I got stuff for you to do. And then he said, and remember, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, that's something. There's a glimpse. He said, I didn't want to go back. But he's back for a time. Something beautiful about this love, because it's the main thing. The love really is Jesus. Having His way on the throne here. I can't work it up, but I can surrender and I can let Him have His way. It sounds simple. Not that simple because I'm too strong. So with the whole deal, what's happening? One thing I know is we gotta love. Us Christians gotta love. Tough one. But that's what he says. And we will. We will as we let him have his way. It says, this love here is absolutely impossible for us to do. It is. For us. Only he can do it in us and through us. And so, he wants that. And that's my challenge to you. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have that love today. You don't have it. You can't have it. So the first thing is, receive Christ. To as many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the power to become children of God, and children of God love. And if you're already a child of God, spend time with Jesus. Let him have his way in every area of your life. It's a struggle for me. You know, on that blockade pipeline deal, I know people on both sides. And I look and it just brings tears to my eyes to think. It's all we want our way. But Lord Jesus, have your way. We'll have peace. I'm not going to say which way it should go. That's God's business, but I'll tell you something. We better be loving. We better be loving. We wouldn't have confrontations like this if there was more love. We wouldn't. Both sides. We all need. It's not sides. There is two sides. One side is the flesh, and the other side is the spirit. And those sides are in me. What do I choose today? That's the question. Thank God I got a choice, because he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That is beautiful. So that's the challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your deep, deep love. And Lord, we see nuggets along the way here. But Lord, may we do some mining here with you. Pour out your love on us, Lord, as we surrender to you. Lord, may your church, this church right here, the church right here in the Pleasant Valley and in the Bulkley Valley and in the north, Lord, may your love pour out from us, in us and through us and out to others. So thank you, Lord. You didn't leave us here as orphans. You sent your Holy Spirit to live in us. You gave us this love to live out. Thank you, Jesus. There's hope. Lots of hope. Give us all that.